I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, it's graduation season, and with brand spanking new degrees in hand, many college graduates and their parents are wondering what's next. Will they find the job of their dreams, or will they be returning to the hotel mom and still relying on the bank of dad to supplement that minimum wage gig? That may depend on their majors. A groundbreaking new report outlines just how much college graduates can expect to earn based on their fields of study. We'll have more on that a little later. But first, we talk politics and we turn to an issue that's become another flashpoint between Democrats and Republicans. It's about whether or not voters should have to show a government-issued photo ID in order to vote. Republicans are arguing that you already have to show such an ID to board an airplane or buy alcohol or even over-the-counter medicines, so why shouldn't you have to show ID to do something as important as vote? Last week, Republican governors in Wisconsin and Texas signed bills that made their states among the dozen that now require photo ID at the polls. But civil rights activists and Democrats, particularly those who represent African Americans, say this is just a modern twist on a very old story of trying to disenfranchise minority voters who tend to vote Democratic. Joining us to talk about this is longtime civil rights activist and former presidential candidate, the Reverend Jesse Jackson. He's the CEO and founder of the Rainbow Push Coalition, and he joins us on the line from New York. Welcome, Reverend. Thanks so much for joining us.
Yes, ma'am.
Also with us is Ron Christie. He's a Republican political strategist, author, former aide to President George W. Bush, and before that to Vice President Dick Cheney. He's with us from our New York bureau, where he often talks politics with us. Welcome to you, Ron Christie.
Always a pleasure.
Ron, I'm going to start with you because this does seem to be a Republican initiative or a push by Republican policymakers around the country. Why is this necessary right now?
Well, I think what you've seen in the last decade is very lax immigration policies in the United States that have had any number, I would say tens of millions, of undocumented workers coming across the borders in the South, also from the North and Canada. And I think Republicans want to make sure that one of the things that we maintain the integrity of here in our country is our ability to cast a vote, knowing that we have a legitimate citizen casting that ballot. So rather than casting this as an attempt to disenfranchise people, regardless of the color of their skin, Republicans, and I would dare say people of all political stripes, would say it's important that we maintain the sanctity of that ballot box and that we make sure that we have legal people voting.
Is there some evidence that there is widespread fraud being perpetuated, or even not widespread fraud being perpetuated by people who aren't eligible to vote? And if so, where is that evidence?
Well, certainly. I'll give you one state in particular. You have the Secretary of State's office in Kansas, and even the Secretary of State's office admitted that there were instances where they had found people who were eligible to be on the rolls, but they said, regardless of the fact that there might have been a few people who have snuck through, it's important that we not disenfranchise people. To that, I would say,
Question. Forgive me, Ron. That's not the question I asked you. The question I ask you is, what is the evidence of the fraud?
Oh, okay. They, in fact, uncovered ballots that were cast by people who were not eligible to vote, period.
Reverend Jackson, what about that?
Well, and those who vote ineligibly, that's illegal, a crime punishable by law. The bigger issue here is, according to the Brennan Center for Justice at NYU Law School, 10% of voting age citizens, about 20 million, do not have a government-issued photo ID. So it is, in fact, restrictive. It means that for many seniors who would be asked to get a birth certificate, they don't have one. They would literally have to buy one that amounts to a poll tax. Or students who have a student-issued ID, but not a government-issued photo ID, it would put a chill on their voting. Or even on the use of the driver's license. In Milwaukee, for example, 55% of African-American men and 46% of Latinos have no driver's license. So we should really be talking more and more about easier access to voting, automatic registration with your birth, same-day election registration, a longer voting period. This is another restrictive scheme.
Georgia has a photo ID law. This was very aggressively opposed by many people in the civil rights community. But in the last election, in fact, voter turnout increased in Georgia. The Latino vote increased by 140%. The African-American vote increased by 42%. The white vote increased by 8%. And some people argue, where's the evidence that this requirement, which was in place, in fact, dissuaded people from coming out?
Well, the fact is that for seniors, maybe more could have voted. Women, people of color, and minorities and students could have voted. This 20 million Americans, 20 million. You know what 20 million means in a national election? Can it be the next about 110,000 votes? What does it mean? Nixon beat Humphrey by 500,000 votes. Bush won by 500-600 votes. 20 million people now having to scramble for eligibility. This is extremely restrictive, and the federal government must intervene to deny any scheme that denies easy access to voting, which could determine the outcome of state and federal elections.
If Reverend Jackson, if the government gave all registered voters free photo IDs, if there was no fee attached, would that solve the problem?
It could be a step in the right direction, but right now the government has not made that decision. And most states are using this as a scheme to control and restrict the vote. They know if you target the poorer communities where you have less access, you put out the idea of a birth certificate to register. Its impact upon seniors and blacks and browns and young people is determinative of outcomes.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. We're talking about legislation that's advancing right now in a number of states, generally pushed by Republicans, and bills that have already been signed into law that would require voters to show a government-issued photo ID in order to cast ballots. I'm joined by the longtime civil rights advocate and former presidential candidate, the Reverend Jesse Jackson. He opposes that idea. Also with us, Ron Christie. He's a Republican political strategist, a former White House aide in the George W. Bush administration. He also worked for Vice President Dick Cheney. He's also with us often to talk politics. Ron Christie, I'm going to press Reverend Jackson's question to you. The Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights, for example, points to Wisconsin as an example. They say that 78% of African-American males aged 18 to 24 lack a valid driver's license. And the argument is this does have a disproportionate impact on some communities. And they would also argue that if the concern really is the integrity of the ballot, why isn't there an equal push against, say, voter intimidation?
Well, I think that you need to take steps like what Georgia has done to ensure that all people, regardless of their skin or their age, have the ability to vote. In 2005, the Georgia legislature passed a statute that said that you had to have that voter-issued ID. And in fact, that was struck down as being unconstitutional and in violating Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act. So the legislature went back and they said, okay, we're going to issue these ID cards for free to ensure that people have the right to vote. Not only that, we're going to allow people to issue a provisional ballot on the day of the election to ensure that if they don't have a state-issued ID at that time, that they can still vote, but still prove their eligibility status after that.
So they have to go and present one after the fact.
After the fact. And I would add that they say for people who are 65 years or older that you don't have to come under the provisions of this particular statute because of your age. So if you look at exempting certain seniors, if you looked at allowing people certain provisional ballot status, and you look at Georgia and many other states who allow people to get a issued identification card from the state for free, I think that that dissuades many of the opponents who say, oh, that this is somehow disproportionately discriminatory against people of color.
The other argument that's
Michelle,
go ahead, Reverend.
What Georgia has done is extraordinary. It is not common what Georgia has done, issuing the ID and making it more accessible. The price we pay just to register and vote is really a very high price in the first place.
But what about Ron Christie's point, though, that there has been very expansive undocumented immigration in this country over the last decade? That's not a fact that's in dispute, and that some measures are reasonable to ensure that only eligible people vote. What do you say to that?
You know, if you were to go and get a traffic ticket today and your driver's license, and they pull you over, within 4 minutes they know whether you are a citizen or not, whether you have a traffic ticket or not. And so today's technology protects us from that. Besides, there's no evidence of widespread voter fraud in the first place. If this were an issue, we would need to protect the integrity of the ballot. There's no evidence of widespread voter fraud.
Let me ask you this, because this is a question I was trying to ask earlier. After the 2000 election, in which so many people were so angry about the process, as everybody remembers that, you know, the voting went on for days, the decision was ultimately taken by the Supreme Court to resolve this. A bipartisan commission led by former Secretary of State James Baker, former Secretary of State, former Secretary of the Treasury, certainly, you know, trusted advisor to many Republican presidents, and former President Jimmy Carter, a bipartisan commission evaluated all of these matters, both voter fraud allegations and voter intimidation. And that commission, which was evenly divided between Republicans and Democrats, said that there was really no evidence of either one being particularly widespread, that there are isolated incidents of both, but no widespread evidence of either. So the question, Ron, that I would ask is, if that's the case, why is this really necessary? And why isn't there a comparable effort being directed toward voter intimidation?
If there is one voter who has come across the borders illegally, or if there is a convicted felon who doesn't have the right to vote, who has otherwise registered to vote and cast that ballot, and that is one invalid ballot cast that really calls into question the integrity of our system. So if you say, well, it's not widespread, it's not proven, I say it is a privilege to vote in this country. All 50 states should ensure and take every step necessary to ensure that we have the sanctity of the ballot box. And frankly, putting some more restrictive measures on there is not that big of a deal. When we have to flash our ID at the airport or buying Claritin and whatnot, getting a state-issued, in my opinion, identification is not that big of a deal.
But Reverend, I'm going to go to you.
I just want to finish this one.
They
make an adjustment. Here, sir, we've been able to use utilities bills. And we know in Florida in 2000, the use of the prison rolls in Texas in Florida frustrated the process. We saw it happen in Florida in 2000. We saw it happen in Ohio in 2004. That's why Section 2 and Section 5 are still operative. The right to vote is still an issue that must be protected.
But,
and why add additional burdens? It's not necessary.
But, Ron, I'm asking you, if one person voting who's ineligible to vote is a problem, why isn't one person being intimidated equally a problem? And why isn't there a similar push on that?
Because in 2001, the U.S. Civil Rights Commission, headed by my friend then Mary Frances Berry, concluded that there was no widespread voter intimidation.
Reverend, what about Ron Christie's point? His point is that if anybody votes who is ineligible to vote, that that compromises the integrity of the entire process.
That's correct. Voter intimidation is illegal. It should be prosecuted when it's proven. And the voter restrictions should be rejected. The same forces that sought to deny the vote target suppressing the vote. And if they can target enough, 5 to 7% of seniors and blacks, Latinos, and youth, they will determine the outcome of the election.
The Reverend Jesse Jackson is a longtime civil rights activist. He's the founder of the Rainbow Push Coalition. Ron Christie is a Republican political strategist, author, and CEO of his own communications and issue management firm. They were both here with us from New York, and I thank you both so much for joining us.
Thank
Pleasure
you.
To join you.